Thank you. Como te llamas? Word-for-word translation, asti,
there is.
Che, if hypothetically,
Ishwarah,
a supreme controller, has changed someone, phala-rupi, serving to award fruitive results, anya-karmana, of the activities, of other persons, kartaram, the performer of activity, bhajate, depends upon, saha, he, api, even, na, not, he, after all, akartu, of one who performs no activity, Rabuhu, the master, he, certainly, saha, he. Translation by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Even if there is some supreme controller who awards all others the results of their activities, he must also depend upon the performers engaging in activity. After all, there is no question of being the bestower of fruitive results unless fruitive activities have actually been performed. Purport. Here Lord Krishna argues that if there is a supreme controller, he must depend upon the performer of activity to reciprocate with and must therefore also be subject to the laws of karma, being obliged to award happiness and distress to the conditioned souls according to the laws of good and evil. This superficial argument neglects the obvious point that the laws of nature that prescribe the good and bad results of pious and impious acts are themselves creation of the all-good supreme law. Being the creator and sustainer of these laws, the Lord is not subject to them. Furthermore, the Lord is not dependent on the work of the conditioned souls, since he is satisfied and complete within himself. Out of his all-merciful nature, he awards the results appropriate to our activities. That which we call destiny, fate, or karma is an elaborate and subtle system of rewards and punishment meant for gradually encouraging conditioned souls to evolve to the stage of perfect consciousness, which is their original constitutional nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has so dexterously formulated and applied the laws of material nature governing punishment and reward for human behavior that the living being is discouraged from sin and encouraged towards goodness without suffering any significant interference with his free will as an eternal soul. In contrast to the material nature, the Lord exhibits his essential nature in the spiritual world, where he reciprocates the eternal love of his pure devotees. Such loving affairs are based completely on the mutual freedom of the Lord and his devotees, not on the mechanical reciprocity of coinciding selfish interests. The Supreme Lord, assisted by his pure devotees, repeatedly offers the conditioned souls of this world the opportunity to give up their bizarre attempt at exploiting the material universe and go back home, back to Godhead, for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Considering all these points, the atheistic arguments given here by Lord Krishna in a playful mood are not to be taken seriously. Om Jnana Tinirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamaya Dhyati Svapadankitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Saganaragunatam Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanasaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Saganaralita Shri Vishakam Itamscha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trijasya Vipasuru Devasya Patitanam Pavanejo Vaishnavedyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shavasati Vrata Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Ji Baldev Ji Subhadramaniya Ki Jai Shri Shri Raghavaneshwara Ki Jai Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Hare Krishna. So, yeah, Lord Sri Krishna is giving atheistic views as per the purport. Yesterday, Jayanitai Prabhu gave a very nice class about the Darshan Shastra, the Shad Darshan. Six views, you know, of the channels in basically questioning what is the supreme absolute truth, and yeah, he covered the points about what those are and how they, you know, compare to Krishna consciousness, like that. So without touching on that, I'll try to speak on this topic. In today's verse, actually Krishna is saying to his to the Vrajvasis as well as to his father about the concept of the fact that work is worship, like that. And it is so ironic that that is the mantra today: work is worship. Yeah. The whole economic, all the economies, they are running on this fact that work is worship. So therefore, we don't need God. We work hard, we make a living, so why do we need God? We use our strength, we use our time, we use our energy, and you know, we produce things, and they are sold, and we earn a living, and we enjoy. So that seems to be quite a nice situation. So why to bring God into the equation? And therefore, it is very convenient to believe in theories like the Big Bang theory, that this whole world came out of the Big Bang. Recently, the Minister for Education in the UK, you know, he passed a law which was recommended by Richard Dawkins, the atheist. He passed a law that grants will only be given to schools in the UK who preach the Big Bang Theory, because there is absolute proof of this, because the scientists say so. But grants won't be given to schools preaching creationism, which means God created this the universes. So it is very, you know, it was in the headlines in the newspapers, you know, victory for Richard Dawkins. So this atheistic philosophy is very much in the war, mainly due to these things, that work is worship, everything is going on okay. They're not even concerned that we are running out of petrol, we are running out of so many things. And despite so much land being there, food prices are going up through the roof. So a very dangerous situation. Yeah? And future children, they'll be taught in schools that only about the Big Bang Theory. So Lord Sri Krishna, he propounds this, Prabhupada's disciples say, in a playful mood. But he's also hinting what's to come in the future. So he covers this point of work is worship, but basically he uses that argument for the Vrajavasis not to get into demigod worship. That's his aim. So he's asking his own father. His father tells him, Nand Maharaj tells him, that this was a tradition, you know, and so we have to follow it, because if we don't, then that will be the cause of our misfortune. Because up until now, we are doing well. We have so many cows, we have so much food, dhanayana dhanvam. At that time, wealth was measured in terms of how much stocks of food grains you have, and how many cows you have. Even Maharaj has 900,000 cows, and the silos were full of grains. So they were very rich, they were doing well, so they didn't see a point. But Krishna, being God, he's very smart. So these arguments can't be refuted, because it is given, you know, the purport say that even though Krishna is the omniscient Lord who knows everything that's going on, he inquires very nicely. He inquires so nicely, any father would be proud if the son inquires in such a way. He says, Father, you know, what's going on? What's all this endeavor for? You know, can you tell me? Then he says that, yeah, if it is a ritualistic tradition, then can you tell me how, for whom you are doing it and what you will be doing? So he asks for the process. And then he asks, who's the beneficiary? Bhoktaram yajna tapasa. Who's the beneficiary of this? I would like to know. Like that. And then Krishna further says that one who knows, he gives the success mantra, one who knows what he is doing succeeds. But one who is in ignorance of what he is doing, you know, his success is not guaranteed. Neither. So therefore, I would like to know. And then he further says that saintly persons, they never keep things secret to themselves. They, you know, freely give it to each and everyone so that everyone can be benefited. Like that. So Krishna is just 7 years old, but he speaks so beautifully and nicely. I mean, just the imagining, you know, little Krishna speaking these words, you know, is so nice. You can imagine what would have been the effect on Nand Maharaj and Vrajavasis. They immediately accepted it, because Krishna is all attractive. He captures your mind, your hearts, you know, everything. And you have to listen to him. So they listen and they go further in this, for going further in this leela then. So here Krishna is discouraging demigod worship. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that when one desires to worship a particular demigod, then I, situated within his heart, yeah, fix his faith on a particular demigod. Depending on the combination of the modes of material nature that the living entity, you know, has within himself. So here Krishna is doing that. The Vrajavasis, their faith is on Indra to a certain extent. And even if their faith is not, they're out of fear. Like, even I know that when I came to Krishna consciousness and I saw that Krishna, 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 I thought, what about the demigods? You know? And I was afraid of, you know, I would antagonize them if I put all my attention to Krishna. So I was still worshipping the demigods, you know, just to keep it in balance, keep everyone happy so that my position is steady and strong, thinking like that. So out of, you know, feelings of fear, whatever it is, we do that. But Krishna here is saying, no, you need not worship. And the person in question is Indra, who is, of course, you know, very famous throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Indra is a very powerful person. You know, Krishna has given him this great responsibility of being the Lord of the universe. He's the, you know, he's the chief of all the demigods, and also he's born of Aditi and Kashyapa Muni. Yeah, therefore, one of his names is Upendra. Vamana's name was Upendra, Upaindra, younger brother of Indra. So all the demigods are his brothers and sisters. So he's got that position. He is a mystic yogi. You know, he shares with Krishna the exclusive, exclusive greatness of entering into the womb. Yeah. Like when Diti was pregnant, yeah, he entered into the womb of Diti because he knew that she was giving birth to a child who was supposed to kill Indra. She specifically did the Pamsa, Pumsavana, Vrat to get a child that could kill Indra, because you know, she thought my children have been killed by Indra, like that. So then he entered into the womb and the Marut was there. He first cut them into seven, and then he cut the seven into seven again, making 49 Maruts. Yeah. So only Lord Sri Krishna has the distinction of doing that when Parikshit Maharaj was in trouble, when Ashwatthama threw the Brahmastra. So great mystic yogi, he had all the siddhis. He has, when he performed sacrifices, of which he has performed 100, Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu personally comes there. Yeah. So, you know, someone who, you know, through his sacrifices can get Lord Vishnu to come in the sacrificial arena. And not only come, but even defend him, even when he is not. Like in Prithu Maharaj's, you know, when Prithu Maharaj performed sacrifices and then Indra tried to stop him, then Lord Vishnu, he came with Indra to pacify Prithu Maharaj and then tell him that I'm satisfied even with your 99. Don't go for the 100. And then he asked Prithu Maharaj, you know, to basically, you know, make it up to Indra, because he knew Indra's nature. The Lord knows Indra's nature. But because he's taking so much responsibility, the Lord is okay with that. He's not okay. He always wants Indra. But still, you know, he supports him because he's a Sura. Yeah? Indra is one of the demigods. So he's looking after the cosmic manifestation. And he's looking after the other demigods as well. So having that position, Lord Vishnu also showers his mercy upon him. We can see that even in Satyug, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the heavenly planets, at that time he dethroned Indra from his position. So he was there at that time, and then right through Treta Yuga to Dwapar Yuga, when Lord Sri Krishna, at the end of Dwapar Yuga, Lord Sri Krishna is there, still Indra is creating problems. So Indra, even though he is a demigod, a great person, a mystic, he suffers from these three, basically three weaknesses. That of pride, because the heavenly planets are so opulent. He forgets that the opulences are attached to the post of Indra. And the people in those posts, they change. And whoever accepts the post or whoever is given the post, he gets all the opulences. So Indra has that pride. He also is envious, because when you are proud of of anything, then you get attached to it. And especially Indra has wealth, he has power, and he has prestige. The three most powerful things. So being proud of them, he is attached to them. And being attached to them, then he is envious. He doesn't want anyone to be equal to him or greater than him. So at times he forgets that only Krishna has this position. So he's suffering from those, and they come up from time to time. He attacks anyone and everyone who puts him in anxiety. So here Krishna is trying to, Lord Sri Krishna being merciful, he always wants his devotees to be saved from their precarious condition. And the position of pride, envy, and attachment is not a very good one, because that is a position of suffering. Yeah? Now, a condition very empty, I for myself, I know that I would go for it all. And I'm going again and again without realizing that is suffering. Yeah? Because of the temporary enjoyment that you get when you have those things for a temporary moment. Because immediately afterwards, you can see that you lose sight of what is good, what is bad. Yeah? You lose discrimination. And sooner or later, you're headed for a fall like that. But still, the desire to go for it is so strong. It is mentioned that this thing that goes to the light, the flies.
Moth.
The moth, it falls down by its arms. When it sees light, it can't control itself, it just goes for it. But then it meets its death when it goes near the light, it gets burnt. So like that, living entity is going. And so, Krishna creates this world full of frustration, just to frustrate our attempts to enjoy the wrong things. And so Krishna is doing the same to Indra, because he cares for him. So here Krishna is taking away the sacrifice that is supposed to be performed for Indra. And then he tells the Vrajavasis and his dad that this is meant for Giri Govardhan and the Brahmanas and the cows. Because Krishna knows what would give them the highest benefit. Being his devotees, of course, they have full faith in Krishna. There's no doubt about that. But then, to create pastimes and to reciprocate with them, Krishna wants them to perform those sacrifices for Giri Govardhan, Brahmanas, and the cows, rather than Indra, which would, won't be of any benefit to them. And he argues that, Indra is a god of rain and he has to give it. Rain falls even on the seas. Seas don't perform sacrifices. Stones don't perform sacrifices. So why should you perform the sacrifice? There's no reason to do that. So, good arguments. At the same time, getting to the weak points of Indra. So Indra gets mad, of course. He gets very angry being thwarted in his attempts to enjoy this sacrifice. And so we can see that to the extent that we are proud, yeah, to that extent we react to any situation. Yeah. If we are less proud, I mean there's good, better and best in everything. So in pride it is the same. I tried to find out the meaning of pride, you know? And pride is simply feeling good about ourselves. You know, that is how it is defined. Feeling good about ourselves. Now, I was thinking, that is the natural state, isn't it? You should feel good about yourself. But that is a state of pride. Because in this material world, actually our situation is very, very shameful, precarious, all these things. So we shouldn't be feeling that, feeling good about ourselves, feeling good about what we have achieved, you know, things like that. So feeling good about ourselves, and saying, this is what I learned at this age. So dangerous, something that should be learned when you're young, because you can spend all your life, you know, the right way, knowing what's right and what is wrong. So these small things, they make a lot of difference because we act on these paradigms, and sometimes, most of the times, we are not succeeding, or we have our sense of frustration increases, our sense of, you know, feeling unempowered, this increases, all because of these paradigms that we have. So from time to time, it's best to check the definitions of what these things actually mean. What does pride mean, you know, in terms of what the world thinks or the dictionary thinks? And there are so many dictionaries, they give different meanings. And what does it mean for me? Because sometimes it can be such an eye-opener. It can change your life, because we are acting on these paradigms and they're leading us to problems all the time. But because it is the conditioned nature, we become blind to it and we accept it as part of me. This is who I am. And it is natural. So I act this way. Yeah. But even though it's always, you know, ending up in tears and misery for us, it's difficult to learn the lesson. But rechecking everything helps. Especially definitions of things like pride, attachment, envy. Like, so then you see Indra. He's really mad, because all these years he has been accepting these sacrifices, and now his attempts at enjoying it are being thwarted just because one, as he puts it, talkative child, huh? Talkative little boy, yeah, who thinks the whole village has been captured by him. Because of him, they have stopped doing it. So he's really mad. And then he sends, of course, the Samvartaka cloud. And then we'll discuss, because this pastime goes on for a long time. But I'll stop there to ask if there are any questions, comments. Realizations. Yes, sir.
All the demigods are immortal.
All the demigods? Immortal as such. They also have a date of birth.
Yeah.
Even Lord Brahma, who has the longest lifespan,
yeah,
he also has it.
Compared to humans.
Compared to humans, uh-huh.
So the higher place, they have the different thoughts. It's sometimes confusing in this planet. So Krishna was also not human. He was acting as a human being. So his confusion for humanity at large.
So what is the point?
The point is the personality is more than a human, superhuman. Even though he don't have faith after years goes, 5,000 years gone, whose fault is that? We are not in the higher plane, democracy. We're talking about human, general human beings.
What about that? I can't get your point.
I am not immortal.
Yeah, we are not immortal.
I am not immortal.
The spirit soul is eternal.
Yes.
But the body is, you know, perishable. So, yes, to that extent, we are not immortal. Is that your point?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the spirit soul is eternal and the body is perishable. Anyone else? Yes, Mark. Oh, sorry.
Thank you for this class. I'm thinking that we're eternally, if the soul's happy, there's an eternal happiness, we feel that. So, my question is, so being proud, how can we, where's the fine line of being proud for the spiritual and material?
Yeah, that's a very good question actually. And I think the realization of which can come after a long time, at least for me. I was also thinking of that. So, I mean, pride usually comes due to achievements, accomplishments, certain characteristics that we are endowed with. But, you know, and so at the same time we realize that Krishna says he is the ability in man. And he is one of the five factors which decides the fruits, what we get, our achievements and our accomplishments. All he is the upadrushta anumanta. He is the witness and he is the award. He is the one who awards them. So ultimately everything rests in him. So while the mind may, you know, puff us up saying, and even maybe others as well, that, oh yes, you really are great because you have done this or you have this or that, then, you know, to that extent we'll have to work on tempering it with, you know, actually it all belongs to Krishna. And then at any time, he can snatch it. You know, like that. And at any time, I can fall into Maya. You know, Bharat Maharaj left everything and then just for, you know, getting attached to a deer, he fell down and had to come back in two lives. So anything could happen. So when we think of that, then naturally it sobers us up that, you know, already life is, you know, life on planet Earth is not a very, you know, nice affair. You know, everyone is struggling, no matter who they are. So do I want to come back again? So tempering the pride that is coming, right? If we go to the root of all that pride, we'll see that our contribution to it has been very little. If we refer to the scriptures, yeah, we have just been in the right mode of material nature at the time. Maybe the planets also were in the right modes. Maybe the surrounding, the five factors were all in the right, you know, positions for us to have done that. And secondly, like, there are so many other factors, like, you know, you see when we are singing with devotees, usually it's the purity and the encouragement of other devotees that's keeping us up. You know, the same person, me, if we go outside and you try to sing, the effect is not the same, you know. So it's also the surrounding, so many things. So if we remember that and keep that in mind and temper it, and in fact, you know, always refer to the scriptures, you know, then we know that ultimately we are not responsible for all those achievements, accomplishments, or even those qualities. You know, it also goes. So when they are tempered, then we immediately know that I am proud. But Prabhupada did say that we should be proud that I am a devotee of God. That has to be there. Because, you know, you also have to not totally put yourself down. You have to take action, you know, for, on behalf of the guru parampara, whatever that action is there. And for that, you should have a certain amount of self-esteem or self-worth, sense of self-worth. It's not about kicking yourself, you know, to the ground, saying, you know, I'm useless, I'm worthless, or I'm nothing. I'm a devotee. Thank you.
I had a question, but so I think this said that we can be proud that he's the dog of his spiritual master. But that's what, which kind of is a little bit different from this being a devotee. A dog, and your spiritual master is quite a humbling position to be. But I did have a question, which is why do you think the Lord would use an atheistic philosophy or argument with theists, very devout theists, in order to accomplish something? And why would they listen to it?
The Lord is convinced of the faith of these devotees because they are the topmost. So he's convinced that, you know, they have given their everything to him. And so he is giving these arguments for us, you know, especially we in Kali, where work is worship. You know, and because of those, if we read the Vedas, you know, there is every puja to attend anything. Like if you want sexual prowess, you have to worship Lord Indra so that he can actually award that. Yeah. So people could be, you know, like because work is worship, to attain all these things, people could worship the demigods. Kamasteste hita jnana bhajante anna devata. That's why people go to the demigods because they don't really care for us. As long as you do what they want and they benefit, then they give you what they have, what they can give, which ultimately Krishna says comes from. But Krishna, because he cares for us, he's revealing this, that don't worship the demigods. He's telling us. Don't worship the demigods. Ultimately, worship Giriraj, who is non-different from Krishna, and also he is Haridas Varya, is the highest devotee of Krishna. Similar to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Krishna himself, but coming in the, you know, in the form of a devotee of the Lord. So worship Giriraj. And of course the Brahmanas, you know, they are to be worshipped as well. And the cows, because they are dear to Krishna. Namo Brahmanya, Go Brahmana. Like that. So Krishna uses the pastimes basically. He knows that it won't change the Vrajvasis because they are completely sold to him. They'll do whatever he wants. But through that he is preaching to us that this philosophy which will come into your age of Kali, worth is worship, is a very dangerous philosophy. And based on that philosophy you may worship the demigods. It seems to make sense. Like if you place your faith, like later on he says that treat your work as your deity. You know? So if you're doing that, your work as a deity, then you'll do everything that's amenable to that. So if you're a farmer, you might worship the right demigods to provide the right things, like they're worshipping Indra basically to get rains, because rains for a farmer is one of the most important thing. So you could worship a demigod. So Krishna is saying there's no need. So he's taking a philosophy that even if you are at that level and thinking like that, and then justifying demigod worship, there's no necessity.
Carbon monoxide to put the emphasis on
of one's self, one's work, and to distract them away from demigod worship, not to compliment demigod worship. He's telling them, it's your actions. It doesn't matter if somebody else, what they did, it's actually your actions. So why do you need to worship some demigod? It's all about you, which is why it's considered a pantheistic philosophy, because it takes away from any idea of the deity or the person's. So it didn't seem like that is promoting demigod worship. That's undermining demigod worship.
It is undermining.
So, but it's putting emphasis on one's own work.
One's work. Yeah.
Atheistic.
Yeah, that's true. He does that. But as the pastime unfolds, we'll see that what he spoke, therefore the acharyas say, he spoke in a playful mood. Because what happens in the pastimes, how he arranges it through yogamaya, disproves it. That work alone, you know, is the deity. Work alone can achieve everything. No, you need the supreme controller's mercy as well. You need other factors as well. So as the pastime unfolds, actually that theory is completely crushed. So he's saying that even if you believe that, and today, I mean, we can see that at least about majority of the people, they think, I don't need to worship anything, except for, you know, what relates to my work. They, people are probably worshiping their bosses, and, you know, people in the positions of influence. So he's giving that, okay, even if you're on that level, and then the pastime will disapprove all of it. Then even if you're
sometimes it seems Krishna, in order to achieve his purposes, takes a very interesting means. For instance, he appeared as Lord Buddha. He empowered Shankaracharya. But in order to achieve his means, sometimes he does things like that. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about but then he says that he brings Arjuna ultimately to Brahma Bhakti. So to achieve his means, you know, sometimes he does things like that. Achieve certain purposes.
The end justifies the means.
To answer the question exactly, but that just came to mind.
Yeah, that's very important that Krishna uses different means to get the to give the message that you brought up very important.
Which is there, but like when he came as Lord Buddha, there was a specific reason why he did that. He turned people away from the Vedas because they were using the Vedas. Shankaracharya, because he wanted to bring them back to the Vedas, but he couldn't, you know, so there was specific, and that's why I'm asking, you know, why exactly would he use this atheistic philosophy in this situation with this? Because it seems that he does have a, there's a higher reason also, you know, why he may implore certain things, or even with, you know, speaking to Arjuna, maybe, you know, maybe there are also reasons why he spoke specific terms of philosophy and cover things. So that's just trying to understand. Because obviously if someone just picks up the Bhagavatam and reads it here and sees, oh, Krishna says, over 6 or 10 verses, he's speaking Karma Mamamsa, they could go away and the whole, you know, thing could be created.
And therefore Prabhupada wrote so many purports, and, you know, because the acharya's opinion, you know, because the acharya's clearly explained why he spoke that mood. It was in a playful mood. You know. It was in a playful mood. And to me, I see it as today, I see that Karma Mimamsa philosophy very much practiced in real sense by most of the people, because work is worship, that has become the swan song. So Krishna is saying, okay, if that is your, you know, philosophy that you live on, this is how it is crushed. The whole, you know, Leela covers that also. As that, that it is a complete, completely baseless philosophy, because it is based only on your work, and You are even thinking, I mean, in that, even it is thought that the Lord is a product of karma as well. So even he doesn't have the authority to give you what he wants, you know, beyond what you, beyond your work. If you deserve X amount, then he has to give you only that. That is what the philosophy believes in. And, you know, it's completely that, you know, then there's no meaning to the word God. That means he's not omnipotent. He can't give you more than, you know, what you deserve, which is also, you know, not correct. So slowly, you know, these philosophies, you know, what do you call it, torn into pieces as the Leela unfolds. Mother, you. Krishna knows what we need, and especially to those who are trying to surrender to him, he always keeps us on the edge so that, you know, we will make attempts to get closer to him. Yeah, that's true. Very good. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yesterday. And Robert's been teaching, distributed 19 books for 300 in our match report. Occasional shopping and leaving the ladies' restaurant, no customers, and a total of 2009 match report. Sound distribution, keep that. Book distribution. One score from ISKCON Educational Services, 10 Mastery Points, 2 Mono Big Books for Book Points. Might need to change our prayer pretty soon. But, start begging. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causes mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books and we appear to both Srila Prabhupada to the fallen mission souls of London. Please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We are surrendered servants on every day. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada, distribution, keep Jai Shri Prabhupada, keep Jai Shri Prabhupada, keep Jai Shri Prabhupada, keep Jai Shri Prabhupada. And on the other side, the volunteers and volunteers to help clean up the temple after breakfast for Saturday. And if you want, okay, someone can help with that too. If everyone could please help with the prasadam change, just out this door and down the steps to the kitchen, and we can all put up prasadam and serve it up. Thank you. And just a reminder, And Mr. Brahmachari Ishta goes to this morning in the ashram at 9:30, not at 10 o'clock as previously announced, so we can make it to the